Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful for your being with us. Your presence is our strength and our joy. Thank you for embarking a new year for us so that we would continue to be joyful and faithful to serve you and to love you more. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to each one of us so that whatever you have to say would be registered at the deeper part of our heart and in our mind to be able to obey and be faithful to you. We thank you for this new year. We give all the honor and glory and majesty to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, during the World War II, France was taken over by the German Nazis. And the French people formed the French Resistance to the fight against the Nazi German in order to recover French liberation. So Resistance was their identity, and liberation was their purpose and mission and their destiny. So identity dictates the purpose, and identity defines the destiny. So knowing who you are determines what you are doing. And this applies to the church. Therefore, knowing who we are as a church is always the first and the primary step as the Church of Christ. Then we would know for what purpose we exist. Would you please turn with me to 1 Peter 2:9? This is our 2019 verse. 1 Peter 2:9. And here's the word of God. And you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So this is part of 1 Peter, the letter that Apostle Paul wrote to the people in Asia Minor. If I read for you 1 Peter 1:1, it begins with this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So to give you some background, the audience of this letter are those people who lived in Asia Minor. Today is Turkey. Especially the Pontus is the province where much persecutions were evidenced during the time of Peter. So Peter is writing to encourage those people who have been in suffering to make sure that you know who they are and what they are supposed to do. And it starts with aliens, scattered. Scattered is diaspora in Greek, and aliens are those who basically live on a temporary basis. This is metaphorically refers to the Christian community, as they are not counting the earth as their final home. So what made them aliens was their faith in Jesus Christ. Because of their faith, Christian faith, they were regarded strangers by the world at large back then. But I think we can identify ourselves to these people as we share the same faith in Jesus Christ. The letters to the this Asian Minor people still relevant for us. For all of us, because we share the same faith in Jesus Christ. And Peter gives this verse, 1 Peter 2, 9, which is our verse in 2019. Let's dive into this one verse. This one verse contains a lot. It begins with but is a contrastive conjunction. Previously, Apostle Peter was talking about those people who are still in the dark, those people who are disobedient to the calling of God. But in contrast to those people who live in the dark, Apostle Paul begins with you. And you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you is basically second person plural, refers to those people who have their faith in Jesus Christ. In the first century and older generation down the road, and this letter, this particular verse is still relevant to each one of us as we share the same faith in Jesus Christ. So you refers to a church, Church of Christ, the people of God, people who are called out of darkness into a marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul gives the four identities, fourfold identities about who we are, what church is all about. This is our identity. The first thing is a chosen race, and second is a royal priesthood, and third is holy nation, and fourth is a people for God's own possession. So let's look at each one of items, each identity Paul is referring to. We are a chosen race. The church, the Christians are a chosen race. Here, chosen is eklekton in Greek. Eklekton means elected by God. And race is genus in Greek manuscript. It refers to a relatively large people group, or it can be a nation. So we are a chosen race. We are elected nation by God. If you know Old Testament, Israel was actually called a chosen nation. But here in New Testament, Apostle Peter labeled the church as a chosen race or chosen nation. It's a commonality between Israel and the church. If you really understand Bible, Israel is not necessarily a church, and church is not church did not replace Israel either. But they share the common feature, this identity, a chosen race, a chosen nation. And both are elected by God, chosen by God by his sovereign grace. Israel didn't deserve to be elected as the chosen people. Likewise, church is not necessarily deserving to be elected by God, but only by God's grace we are chosen to represent the Lord. The point is that we are not random people. We're not just here by coincidence, but we have a special purpose, and we are elected by God. So that's the first identity, a chosen race. And second identity is a royal priesthood. Royal means we are of royal descent. Basically, we are part of kingship. And we're not just part of kingship, but we are also priesthood. A priesthood is basically a role of priest. And Exodus 19:6, Israel is described as the kingdom of priests. But here, Apostle Peter is saying we are, the church is a royal priesthood. Again, there's a commonality between Israel and the church. However, in the Old Testament, priests were a special group of people from the tribe of Levi. Only Levites are qualified to be priests, nobody else. But in the New Testament, the paradigm was shifted. Every believer is a royal priest of Jesus Christ. This privilege is given to every believer, the church people. And another important point is that Jesus is the king. That's why we are royal descent. We are co-heir with Jesus Christ of the inheritance of the kingdom of God. We're not slave anymore, but even beyond, we are not just a kingdom citizen, but we are royal descent. Our DNA was replaced with the DNA of Jesus. We are part of the king's family. And on top of that, we are priests because Jesus is the highest priest. In Hebrews 9:12, Jesus entered once for all into a sanctuary, not with the blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:12. So Jesus' identity as king and the high priest is transferred to us, those who believe in Jesus Christ, a royal priesthood. And the third identity given by Apostle Peter is a holy nation. Here, nation in Greek manuscript is ethnos. Ethnos is the root word for ethnicity in English. So, which means a body of persons united by kinship, culture, and common tradition, or simply nation. But this is not just a nation, but holy nation. Hagias. Hagias is a word for holy, which means pure, devoted to God, or set apart for God, or consecrated. It's a holy nation. So church is a holy nation, basically a group of people who are set apart for the Lord. And this is an identity of distinction. We are to be different from the rest of the world. The biggest threat that the church is facing and every Christian is facing in these days, we are kind of blended with the world. So there's no the virtual distinction between the church and the people outside of the church and a Christian and the non-believers. That is the biggest threat to defeat this purpose that God has given. We are a holy nation. However, we have to be always be cognizant of this identity. We are supposed to be set apart, different from the rest of the world. Our national ethnic backgrounds is less important than this holy ethnos, holy nation. This new identity given by God is a holy nation. It's less about whether you are biologically Caucasians, Latinos, Africans, Asians, or other ethnic groups, than about whether you are called by God to be supernaturally His holy nation. So this citizenship that given by God is by the work of the Holy Spirit, who regenerated the faith in Jesus Christ. Without Holy Spirit, we cannot be a holy nation. But because Holy Spirit awakened us to believe in Jesus, who died for our sin and who was resurrected from the tomb and be ascended to the right hand of God, which are all the works of the Holy Spirit, we are now part of the holy nation. John Piper said, ethnic distinctives are precious, but they are not the essential identity of any Christian. You know, that's why, you know, we have to be really live beyond our own background, whether you're Asian or Latinos or Caucasians or even within Asian, you come from different countries. We have to overcome that because those are less important than our new identity given by the Lord. We are a holy nation. You know, our loyalty and our obligation is for the kingdom of God, not the United States of America or Japan or Korea or Vietnam or Philippines or China, which you came from. You know, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. The fourth identity given by Apostle Peter is a people for God's own possession. People for God's own possession. This refers to where we belong to. We belong to God. God possesses us. God owns us. So this means we are not our own. We don't own ourselves. We don't possess ourselves. We are only steward. We are borrowed for the time being to be you and me, owners, so that we would prepare for the kingdom of God. The word possession in Greek manuscript is peripoiesen. Peripoiesen. That word has two meanings. First is possession, as this translation, NASB, they translate that as possession. But it also has another meaning, which is vindication. What does that mean? We are God's possession, but also God's vindication. What that means is, by the church, God will be vindicated. His justice and His righteousness will be vindicated by the people who believe in Him. This is actually for eschatological, the futuristic perspective. When Jesus comes, God will vindicate Himself, His holiness and His righteousness, His justice, by saving the church, and also by judging those who didn't believe in Jesus Christ. So God will be vindicated. So in that sense, we are God's vindication. So let's look at this 1 Peter 2:9 once more. So he said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for God's own possession. So he lays out these fourfold identities of the church. But he said, put that is another conjunction, so that, or in order that. This, that represent grammatically the purpose. Why God has given this identity to the church? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So this is our destiny. This is our purpose. This is our mission, based on these four identities God has given in this one verse. So we are to proclaim the excellencies of Him, God or Jesus Christ. And what is excellencies here? Excellencies means it's a common character worthy of praise, excellence of God's character, His goodness, His mercy, His holiness, His goodness in all those things that we know about God is part of these excellencies. But these excellencies also mean God's power, God's supernatural power. His glory is all included in this one verse, excellencies. And the word proclaim in Greek manuscript is exangelo. Exangelo. Exangelo is to proclaim, report, or announce, or make known openly and with wide distribution, or proclaim throughout. So this word proclaim has to do with our verbal proclamation. But how can we proclaim the excellencies of Him? What does entail? How would we do that? How would we proclaim the excellencies of God? Actually, there are three things we can think of how to proclaim the excellencies of God. One is worship. You know, when you say we need to proclaim the excellencies of God, we may think about mission. I think that's included, but I think before mission, we have to proclaim God's excellencies within the body of Jesus Christ. That's why worship is the most important the thing that we need to do as a church of Christ. And second thing is about preaching. Proclaim the excellencies of God. Proclaim the word of God. That's why I believe Bible preaching or expository preaching is so essential to proclaim the excellencies of God within the body of Christ when we gather together. And then the third thing is evangelism and mission. Definitely we need to proclaim the excellencies of God outside of the body of Jesus Christ. So those three things are how we should proclaim the excellencies of God: worship, preaching, evangelism, and mission. As I said, worship and preaching are for the church, who are already the believers, who are already in the light. But we need to continue to lift God's supremacy, God's glory within the body. And evangelism mission is for the people who are outside of the church, who are still in the darkness. The church's responsibility is not just to enjoy ourselves, this greatness of God, but also share this great thing with the people who are outside. So let's elaborate a little bit more on the worship. I think the worship can be always deeper and deeper. There's no limit because God is infinite. And so our worship can always be deeper and deeper. I think our worship is good in general, but it can be better. There's no bound because God is so infinite. His worth is so infinite. So our worship can get deeper and deeper. Whether it's contemporary worship or traditional worship, it doesn't matter. I think we can really bring our worshipful heart before the Lord and worship together. Especially when you gather on Sunday, this is the prime time because we are called together and we worship Him together. And we can get deeper and deeper. We can be immersed in the presence of the Lord as we gather together. The preaching is so important because preaching is not a sharing opinion of the preacher. It's about who God is from the Bible, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and how we ought to live in light of those Trinitarian relationship that we have with the Lord. Preaching can always be better and better. No sermon is final, and we can sharpen through our preaching and through our Bible study together. We can sharpen each other so that we would understand the deeper meaning of what God has to say through His word. What is the gospel? We are to proclaim the gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel is actually God Himself. We proclaim God. God is the gospel, and His mercy, His love, His grace, His wonder and His power, and His miracle to save the sinners. That is what we are to proclaim. So God is the gospel, nothing else. It's not about how you feel better, how to carry your family happier. I mean, those things are the byproduct, but the essence is understanding who God is. We need to proclaim, you know, who this God is. God is the gospel. As Apostle Peter is saying here, he lays out four identities, and then he lays out our destiny, our purpose, our mission. Basically, identity determines destiny. Identity determines destiny. You know, we do not know what to do because we are not clear as to who we are. In 2019, one of the action that I'd like to take all of us is to memorize key verses of the Bible, starting with this verse. This is the first weekly Bible verse. If you look at your bulletin, we have a Bible reading chart. I want you to read whole Bible in 2019. You don't have to read sequentially. But I've been reading sequentially for the last 35 years, so I will keep doing that. But you can be creative. But mark off all those portions that you read in this year. If you haven't picked up, your Bible reading chart is available on the desk. But also, on top of that, I want us to memorize Bible verses, to be deepened with the Word of God. Bible memorization is the best meditative method that is available for us. By the way, as you memorize, you sink in into the deeper meaning of the Word of God. And then by reciting the right verses, you can protect your mind and your heart when enemy try to attack you. So identity determines destiny. And identity dictates destiny, our purpose. So, to summarize, how did we get our identities? Our Christian identities are given by God. That's the thing. We don't define ourselves. And our identity is defined by God. And we are chosen by God. We are possessed and vindicated by God. And we are set apart by God to be holy. And we are elevated to be His royal priest. Again, by God. God defines. And God gave our identity to us by virtue of His sovereign grace. God wills you to be and me to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and people for God's own possession. That's why it's a precious, it's a privilege. And what are we here for? What is our purpose? What is our destiny? What is our mission? Our mission is to proclaim His excellencies. Our identity leads us directly to our destiny, our purpose, and our mission. And we are chosen and possessed, set apart to be holy, and installed as royal priesthood so that we make the glories of God known. You know, our task is to let the world know the glory of Jesus Christ. What are the excellencies of God? Again, it's about Him, about who Jesus is and who this Trinitarian God is about. And we are to tell the world that how merciful He is, how gracious He is, and how powerful He is, and what kind of authority that he possesses. He has worth and purity to make us holy, and His excellencies are God's identity. So our identity is for the sake of making known God's excellent identity. It's interesting, right? God gave us this identity so that we tell about who God is, God's identity to this world. So our identity has its meaning when His excellencies are seen in in us. Therefore, being the Church of Christ and making the greatness of God known are inseparable. If you are a true Christian, if I'm a true Christian, I have to make him known. It's one thing. God gave this identity so that we would make his identity known. If we don't have the second part, latter part, we may not be true. We may not understand our identity is all about. Our identity is fulfilled when we practice our destiny, which is make God's identity, excellent identity, known to this world. So God defined our identity so that we would declare his identity. And there are three things we are to do in 2019. In the church, we are to deepen our worship of the Lord. Our Sunday worship is the focal point, the starting point, to get deeper, to proclaim the supremacy of Christ in the songs we sing. Christ-centric worship. We can be more Christ-centric as we gather. Raise up, who he is. And today, we see that our songs are centered around Jesus Christ, which is a great thing. Not only with lips, but also in our heart, we need to truly deepen our relationship with this Jesus Christ. And our prayers are to be deeper in the Spirit of the Lord, because Holy Spirit is powerful. And he is a personal, and he is the creator. He is creator himself. So our prayer can always get deeper and deeper, understanding the secret of the Lord. God reveals through our prayer. So get excited about what God can do as we gather together in worship and in prayer. And our preaching is to be centered around the word. The word has to be proclaimed, because Jesus is the word. He's the word incarnate. We basically preach Jesus. And our meditation of the word can be deepened and deepened and more powerful as we are immersed with Bible as the friend, and also memorization of Bible verses will help us to deepen our relationship in understanding the word and the person of God in the word. And outside of the church, this year we are to be more evangelistic. In our life group, we can be more strategic in reaching out to the people who are yet to know Jesus Christ. So we need to bring in the people that who may not know Jesus Christ, so that they would understand, they would begin this relationship with the Lord as we have begun already. And our love and our holy life have to be demonstrated when we bring people into our midst. As we said, if you are a Christian, you have to be holy, you have to be loving. And we share that with the people outside so that they would be intrigued by the relationship that we have within the body, cohesively, as a community, as well as individual. We are to be attractive to the people outside. Although we are sinner, but our lifestyle has to be holy and more loving and more merciful, more compassionate, so that people will be drawn to this type of people. Who are these people that are interested in me? When you offer that the people your prayer, people actually appreciate. I never seen anyone in my life who declined the offer of prayer. And prayer is a common language for everyone, and then you can offer to pray for other people's need, and they would be drawn near to you. You know, willingness to pray for other people shows our compassion, shows our mercy, shows our interest in them, and they would be intrigued by that. And our authenticity and commitment have to be visible to the people outside. In order to do that, we have to know who we are, as this verse says, and live in light of who we are, fulfilling our destiny. That will be the easiest way to attract people from outside and share our love and compassion with them. And at work, we are told people what we love about God, what we love about Jesus Christ, and why we think He is great. Our workplaces are our best mission field. So missionaries, we are the missionaries. You know, we pray for the missionaries, right? But we are also missionaries called locally. And when you have a chance, opportunity to go out outside of this region, you know, bring something with you to share the good news, or be prepared so that you can share. But by and large, our workplaces that we go every day is our mission field. And we look for those people who need to hear these excellencies of God. And in your personal work, what is most important to you and me is to walk holy as God is holy. And our identity as a holy nation defined by God has to be demonstrated in our individual holy walk in action. So 2019 has begun, and this is our first Sunday worship. And I hope everybody is on the same page. We're going to develop 1 Peter 2:9 this year. Make sure that who we are, these four identities, and then fulfill this destiny God has given. Basically focusing on God, and let Him be the Lord and Savior in each and every moment of our life. Then we'll fulfill what 1 Peter 2:9 has to say. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank You that we have purpose, we have our destiny, we have our mission to be fulfilled. And thank You for reminding us who we are. You know, we are Yours. We are chosen by You to be a royal priest. What a privilege we have. We are chosen a nation. We are a holy nation. And we are possessed by You. And we are Your vindication. You know, what a privilege all this. We just want to thank You for solidifying who we are from Your words. May 2019 be the year that defines our destiny. Father, let this year be our defining year, individually and as a church together, to fulfill Your mission and Your vision in us and through us. May You receive all the honor and glory from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.